Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome all of you this evening to our September the 11th Supervisors Meeting. And as most of you might know, this was a very significant day in this country back in 2001, 9/11. Terrorists hijacked four commercial airliners. Two struck the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. And 2,749 people died as buildings burned and collapsed. A third plane crashed into the Pentagon in Northern Virginia, killing 184, and 40 died when the fourth airliner crashed in a Pennsylvania field. So in memory of that, we would like to have a moment of silence this evening, if you will just please stand for that. Thank you. We're going to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and after the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll have the invocation by Greg Jones, Associate Pastor of Poplar Springs Baptist Church, which is my church that I go to, so we're glad to have him with us. So if you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brother Jones, let's pray together this evening. Dear Lord Jesus, as we have taken an opportunity, Lord, tonight to observe silence in honoring of those who passed on this day 6 years ago. Lord, tonight, not only do we pray for our county, pray for this meeting specifically, but Lord, we pray for our country, we pray for our commander-in-chief, we pray for those who are fighting our military and those who are serving our nation. Lord God, tonight we could pray for a lot of things, and Lord, we ask that you would lift us up, give us wisdom as we look at our county business this evening. We thank you for your Son, Christ, who gives us our ultimate freedom and our eternal life. And we ask these things. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Master, the first item of business.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the first item on your agenda is a request for approval of minutes. This is meeting minutes for August 14th, 2007, both your regular and special meeting. These were, of course, transmitted to you for consideration. Motion would be in order.
All right. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Thornton.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Mr. Manager, you have any comments this evening?
I have two comments this evening, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask Mr. Ed Smith to come to the podium for a moment. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in the life of Henrico County from time to time, people come and people go. People are promoted. Mr. Ed Smith was formally promoted to Chief of the Division of Fire. He used to have hair when he first got that job. Actually not. Ed has been very, very diligent in reference to taking on these responsibilities. I was extremely proud to appoint Ed. I would simply like to formally introduce him to the Board of Supervisors and, of course, to the citizens who are here. Ed has served us faithfully for over 30 years within the Division of Fire. He carries many of the expertise which is necessary for this position, and he also has a degree in human resources, which I think will serve us very, very well. Ed, I would like to congratulate you and ask the Board of Supervisors to join me in a round of applause for you, sir.
Might add, he's a good old Verona boy, too. Huh?
Mr. Chairman, other members of the board, Hazley, I want to say thank you for this opportunity you have given me, and I am very much aware of the weight that I now carry on my shoulders, and everything within my power to keep the County of Henrico and the Division of Fire out front and on the leading edge is my charge, and that's what I hope to do. Please feel free that if there's anything that I can do from my capacity, please feel free to call upon me. I can't take this opportunity to say that I did it by myself with all the accolades that were just even said about me and doing different things without passing on some of that to my lovely wife that's sitting back here, Jennifer Smith. She came tonight because I told her I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but just in case I needed her, I wanted to have her here. My son, my youngest son, who's also a good old Marana boy, he's also there, Tyler. So, again, thank you, and please know that I'm here looking out for all of the citizens and the guests of the County of Henrico. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the second and yet the last item I have for this evening is a little bit difficult for me. I'm going to ask Harvey Henson to approach the podium. Harvey is deputy county manager, as many of you know, in the audience as well as the individuals on the dais here with me. It is with sadness, sincere appreciation and gratitude, and quite frankly, a personal expression of happiness for this true and trusted friend and associate that I have received a letter of retirement from Harvey. Harvey has been with us really since September 1961. He did do 2 years of service in the military and has spent a little over 45 years with Henrico County. He has seen many things accomplished during these 45 years. And for the last 35 years has been a trusted friend and associate of mine. I can tell you without a doubt, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen, there are many days when Harvey and I simply do not need to speak or talk in any way, shape, or form. We honestly and sincerely know what the other one is thinking, and that sometimes is strange. So, it is with a great deal of sadness and yet happiness for him that I have advised Harv when he did give me the letter that because of these years of dedicated service to Henrico County, that I did suggest that he make his official recognition to the Board of Supervisors. Harv?
Thank you, Mr. Manager. And you know how I feel and how I agree with everything you just said. This has indeed been a very difficult decision for me. I think Brenda brought the crowd out here tonight to make sure I don't change my mind. And see these guys stand up, and that they have the muscle to make sure that I carry through. I do want to say a couple of things. I mean, what an opportunity, what a joy it has been for me over these many years. I have literally grown up with this county. I've had the privilege to serve with the best professional leaders that exist anywhere in local government. It has been a blessing for me to have been mentored. And one of my mentors is right back here, Bob Dahlstead and his wife, Loretta, who I consider to be a big brother. And I can start naming names, but Ed Beck, Bill LaVecchia, certainly Virgil, and I have a special bond and friendship that doesn't happen typically in an employee-supervisor relationship. Bill Fleming, who many of you don't know, some will remember. Charlie Warren, who many of you know. Alan Dodson, Phil Rutledge, Bill Dewhurst. These are all leaders who have gone on in their retirement, and they played a very important part in my development. I envy all of this staff sitting out here today. Believe me, I envy them deeply, because they're going to be the ones who are prepared, and they're going to continue to nurture this county and to continue to see it prosper. This is truly an exciting time to be a part of all of it, and that's what made this decision so difficult. So what's next? Well, I'm not winding down, I'm winding up. It's the best way I know to put it. And those of you that know me very well, and I see some of you smiling, know that I have a life full of all kinds of activities, and really I'm going to take the time now to enjoy those things much more. I have grandchildren that I intend to teach to paint and draw and enjoy art the way that I do, and I intend to do more artwork. I want to do everything I can to continue to support this administration, to support our citizens, and to do what I can to enhance the beauty of this county. And some of you know that Brenda and I grow Japanese maple trees from seeds. So if you see a tree planted someplace and you wonder how it got there, remember Brenda and remember me, because they'll be there. I intend to teach Brenda to play golf. And we're going to get out there and play together.
You're not looking for a divorce, are you?
No. But she'll probably be whipping my butt before long. So, and I just want to give a heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you who I feel a close kinship with, the Board of Supervisors, and each and every one of you, Joe Rapisoda and the deputy county managers who sit behind you. This is the best team that exists. And it's really been an honor and a privilege to have served with this team for almost 5 decades. I will miss it, and I'll miss you. God bless you.
Thank you. Our mechanic.
I did have a question after telling you that it's been just a tremendous delight to work with you, and I've never brought anything to you that I didn't get resolved to the citizen's satisfaction. But I've often wondered, did they have paved roads when you first started?
Well, there were probably as many dirt roads as paved roads, believe it or not. Perm Road didn't exist. The first summer I worked in public works as an engineer's aide. In the summer of 1961, we actually cut the center line with a bush axe and ran the center line profiles for Laburnum Avenue from the city limits over to Harvey Road. And, you know, I had the pleasure of cutting the ribbon as a deputy county manager when we rebuilt the bridge later on. So, I mean, it's a career that is full of memories like that. And, you know, there are so many first-time occurrences in Henrico. You know, today, you know, we are going to have a lot of zoning cases here tonight, and those zoning cases are just as complicated and just as involved as they were in the old days. The only thing is that the files were a lot thinner. And, you know, we had 4 sets of plans when now we require 21. But the development and the quality of development, and to have been a part of actually developing and designing the policies and the ordinances and things that we take for granted today, and the type of development we have, you know, that'll be some of my fondest memories, and the staff that I've had the opportunity to work with and learn from, and the citizens. I mean, I tell everybody that this job as deputy county manager for community development is the fun job in Henrico County. You get to be on the front edge of development. You get to be in the planning stages. You're involved in the attraction of new jobs and new industries and tax base to Henrico, and you sit and read the morning paper, and there on the front page is all this news that you're involved in. You can't say anything about it. It's all confidential. You get to stick the shovels in the ground, break ground, and then cut the ribbons. And all of that is to the benefit of our citizens. And every day I get a challenge from somebody who needs help, and that's what it's all about. And I remind myself and the staff all the time, if it were not for the citizens' needs, we wouldn't be here. And that's what we can't ever lose sight of. Find a way to make it work. There's black and white, and there's gray. And many of you know what I mean by that. You have to look for the solution that fits. Anybody can read the code. You have to look for the solution and give the options to solve the problem. And that's what I've always tried to do and what I've always tried to teach the staff. The thing that I feel very good about tonight is this administration is going to go on. There are people who are well prepared. We've done a good job making sure that we mentor those that are around us now. And Virgil has caused all that to happen, and with your leadership. So we got a long agenda. I don't want to take any more of your time. I want to thank everybody. And I'll be around. And I particularly want to thank my family for being here, Brenda and Lisa and Brett and Jeff, Loretta and Bob Dahlstead. If I miss anybody that snuck in, thank you too. But thank you for this time, Mr. Manager and Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I appreciate it.
Well, Harvey, wait a minute. You got to give us equal time here. I just can't say how much we're going to miss you, and all the things that you bring to the table, your background and your humanitarian way of solving problems, getting things done. When we have a problem, call Harvey, and he'll expedite it, and that's what you do through the economic development projects as well. And so your vast background and knowledge is not going to be replaced, but we wish you the best.
Thank you.
Your golf game is already pretty tough, but you're going to be better.
It's going to get better. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Harvey.
Chairman, members of the board, and all of that, Harvey forgot to tell you when he's retiring. It's actually 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Harvey has submitted his retirement as of January 1, 2008. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything else this evening.
That's enough. Okay, Board of Supervisors, members have any comments this evening?
Mr. Chairman, I've got kind of a sad note that I'd like to report. The loss of a good county citizen and a lady devoted to Henrico County, Alice Schultz, passed away last week, served on our Recreation and Parks Commission for 30 years plus, and gave so much to the county. Great lady. We're going to miss her.
Any other comments? I think we have a couple of Boy Scouts in the audience this evening. We always like to recognize them. If you would please stand and tell us what troop you're with and what badge you might be working on? This young man right here. Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Do you have another one? Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Any others? Thank both of you for being here. Give them a hand. Okay. At this time, we'd like to recognize the news media that is covering our event. And this evening, we have with us from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Will Jones. Is Will here? Thank you, Will, for being here this evening. Okay, Mr. Manager, I think we will go into presentations.
We do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. You have two presentations for this evening. The first is a proclamation for Constitution Week, which is September the 17th through the 23rd. I'm going to ask Ms. Patricia S. O'Bannon, Taco District Supervisor, to proceed to the podium. She will be joined by Carol H. Rhodes, who is the Constitution Week Chairman, Old Dominion Chapter of the Virginia Daughters of the American Revolution.
Usually when I speak to school groups, I bring with me what's called a pocket constitution, a copy of the Constitution, and give those out to students, because it is the document on which your government is based. In Constitution Week, September 17th through 23rd, 2007. Whereas the Constitution of the United States of America secures the blessings of liberty for all Americans and embodies the principles of limited government and a republic dedicated to rule by law, and whereas September 17, 2007 marks the 220th anniversary of the signing of this magnificent document by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is important that citizens fully understand the rights, privileges, and responsibilities contained in the Constitution, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the annual issuance of a proclamation by the President of the United States designating September 17th through 23rd as Constitution Week, and whereas it is fitting and proper that local officials join the President and Congress in publicly acknowledging the significant role of the Constitution in American history. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes September 17th through 23rd, 2007, as Constitution Week, and encourages Henrico citizens to reflect upon the many benefits of constitutional government while participating in community ceremonies and activities commemorating this special occasion. It's signed by James B. Donati, Jr., our chairman, and attested to by Barry Lawrence, your clerk.
On behalf of Old Dominion Chapter, Daughters of the American Revolution, I'd like to thank the Board of Supervisors. And since Pat didn't have a constitution with her, I'd like to invite everybody to the new Twin Hickory Library, where we have a very large display on the Constitution that will be there the whole month of September, because the library system asked that we put it there for the whole month, and the proclamation will be part of the display. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our second proclamation, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is a proclamation for Preparedness Month, which would be September 2007. I'm going to ask Mr. David A. Cackley, Vice Chairman of the Board of Supervisors, representing the Free Chop District, to go to the podium. There will be several individuals to join him. Edwin W. Smith, Chief of the Division of Fire, will be joined by Colonel Henry W. Stanley, our Chief of Police, Augustine W. Doe, Pandemic Flu Medical Reserve Corps Coordinator from the Department of Health, Stephen C. Parker, our Emergency Planner from the Department of Health, and Anna M. McCray, who is the Deputy Coordinator of Emergency Management Division of Fire.
I think it's very appropriate that we are observing Preparedness Month for the month of September here on this anniversary of 9/11, because we all know how important it is to be prepared, and this is our first line of defense. So I'd like to read this resolution and present to you the copy. This is where Preparedness Month is September of 2007, whereas one of the most profound duties of government is ensuring the safety and security of its citizens from emergencies and disasters of all kinds, and whereas large-scale emergencies and disasters affecting Henrico County includes inland effects from tropical storm systems, flooding, tornadoes, drought, and numerous smaller yet significant events that occur daily across the county, and whereas all citizens have a responsibility to contribute to their own safety and security as part of a larger county, statewide, and national preparedness effort to prevent, respond to, and recover from unexpected emergencies and disasters, and whereas Henrico citizens can greatly reduce the potential for death, injury, and property loss by taking a few simple steps, putting together a disaster kit, making an emergency plan, keeping informed, and being involved in the community, and whereas citizen preparedness activities are supported by a wide range of local and state initiatives, including the Virginia Corps, the Citizens Corps, and the five programs, Community Emergency Response Team, Fire Corps, Medical Reserve Corps, Neighborhood Watch, and volunteers in police services. Various training and ongoing public education campaigns focused on crime and health and fire safety projects, and whereas the United States Department of Homeland Security is joining with organizations across the nation during the month of September 2007 to highlight the importance of individual emergency preparedness, and whereas the combined actions of local, state, and federal agencies working in partnership with an informed and ready private sector and citizenry can translate the fear of unexpected emergencies and disasters into protective preparedness that improves the lives, safety, and security of all Henrico citizens. And now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes September 2007 as Preparedness Month and calls this observance to the attention of all Henrico citizens, signed by our Chairman Jim Donati and Clerk Barry Lawrence. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the part that you played. Such a month.
And I just wanted to take a moment to thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, and other distinguished guests for your continued support of all of the preparedness efforts here in the county. Former Secretary Tom Ridge once said that the homeland will be secure when the hometown is secure. And through the efforts, the support that you've given us to be able to continue our Citizen Corps programs, such as CERT, the Medical Reserve Corps, our newest addition, Fire Corps, Neighborhood Watch, and Volunteers in Police Services, citizens are becoming better prepared and learning how they can help support the efforts of the career and volunteer public safety officials here in the county. It's fitting, as Mr. Cackley said, that September 11th is the day of this proclamation, calling to mind the need for all citizens to continue to be prepared and to not become complacent in their planning efforts. Through these continued and ever-expanding efforts and coordination with emergency management here in the county, we are leading the way in preparedness, and we're well on the way to becoming a more secure hometown. Thank you for your time and attention.
Manager, I believe we go into appointments.
We do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We have two papers for consideration of resignation and appointments this evening. The first, 295-07. This is a resolution for a resignation of a member from the Local Emergency Planning Committee. This paper accepts the resignation of Michael K. Magner from the Local Emergency Planning Committee as the public health representative. Motion would be in order.
Move the resolution.
Motion by Mrs. O'Bannon. Second by Mr. Cackney. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 296-07 is a resolution. This is for a nomination of a member to the Local Emergency Planning Committee. This paper appoints one individual to the Local Emergency Planning Commission for an unexpired term ending December 31st in the year 2008 or thereafter when his successor shall have been appointed and qualified. This would appoint Stephen C. Parker as the public health representative. Motion would be in order.
Move the resolution.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. O'Bannon.
Second.
A second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is that person
here
this evening? If you would come forward, please, sir. Mr. Lawrence, yes, the clerk. Where are you? I believe we go into our public hearings now for zoning cases.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, as we move into your public hearing agenda for this evening, there are four items which are being requested for deferral. I will review those with you first. The first item is the very first item on your agenda, 167-07, being C-59C-06 in the Three Chop District. Also, the second item, which is a companion paper, 168-07, which is a provisional use permit, 19-06 in the Three Chop District. This is Town West, Town Center West. It is a request to conditionally rezone from B2C, Business District Conditional, to R6C, General Residence District Conditional, approximately 9.4 acres, which is located on the north line of West Broad Street and approximately 540 feet east of North Gaten Road. In addition to that, there was also a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the Code to permit retail and office uses within the proposed multifamily development at the same location. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, a request has been made to defer both of these items, although you would have to consider each one individually, but both of these items until January 22nd, 2008.
This is a public hearing. Is anyone in the audience in opposition to the deferral or would like to speak to the deferral of these two cases?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, seeing no opposition, then I'd move that case C-59-C-06 be deferred to our January 22nd, 2008 meeting. That's the second meeting of January, right?
Second. All right, we have a motion by Mr. Cackney, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion granted. Deferred.
Next item being requested for deferral, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is
272-0.
I'm sorry. I was ahead of Mr. Cash.
All right. See again, Mr. Chairman, there any opposition?
Okay. Any opposition or to this deferral of this case, 168-07?
This is provisional use permit, C-1906.
Right.
Okay. Nobody in opposition to that. I move then that that use permit be also deferred until January 22nd, 2008.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the next item being considered for deferral is 272-07, being C-21C-07 in the Tucco District. This is the Repke Company. It's a request to conditionally rezone from B2C and B3B. C, all business district conditional, to B2C, business district conditional, approximately 2.6 acres located on the north line of Patterson Avenue between Kerrybrook and Lauderdale Drives. The request has been made to defer this item for 2 weeks until September 25th.
Okay. Public hearing. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this deferral?
Mr. Chair, and seeing no one, I move the case C-21-C-07 be deferred until September 25th.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case deferred.
Last item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that I have as a request for deferral is 271-07. This is C-3C-07 in the Verona District. This was the Tetra Group 1. It's a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District, R3 One Family Residence District, R5 General Family Residence District, and B3 Business District to R3C One Family Residence District Conditional, R5C General Residence District Conditional, and B3C Business District Conditional, approximately 80 acres, located on the north line of East Williamsburg Road, the south line of Old Williamsburg Road, and the east line of Drybridge Road, and the west line of Old Memorial Drive. A request has been made to defer this item until October 9th.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Does anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case? Okay. Would that come down to the podium, please?
Good evening. My name is Mrs. Yolanda Ross, and I'm a resident of Oakland Chase Community. You've met with my husband, and I'm Mr. Donati. I'm speaking on behalf of this project because we already have apartments in rear of us in Oakland Chase, and we've had several concerns from the beginning of this project, which have impacted our homes. From everything to the wood fence that's now buckling, and I feel as though before they are allowed to move on to another project or permitted, that they should be able to take care of our community. We're still having problems with the emergency access fence, which is on the side of our house, which I have several. I catch kids climbing the fence, going under the fence on a daily basis. The access entrance is also used as a dog park now. I've expressed several of these concerns with Mr. Durant and several others in the county of our concerns. We've also had vandalisms to our homes since the apartments. And where I live, my husband and I in particular, the apartments are like right out the door. When I step on my deck, that's all I see is three levels. Many kids are now hanging out. So I'm just concerned that if another project goes forth, such as this one, and this one is not even taken care of, how it will impact us as homeowners. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, also fearful when we go to resell our house that we're going to have a lot of problems because I see a lot of houses, which I already know what the market is like right now, but still, that's a great hindrance, and I've had people say that.
But you're not in opposition to us deferring this tonight.
What's that?
You're not in opposition to us deferring this case.
No.
I think that's probably the reason they might be deferring it. Is anyone here from Tetra? Would you like to maybe meet with these folks out in the hall and maybe discuss some of the issues that we may have? I know it's not relative to this case, but I do think they have a legitimate concern here. And if you would, you know, we'll do that. All right.
You ready for
the
motion?
Yeah, ready for
the motion. All right. Mr. Chairman, seeing no opposition to deferral at the request of the applicant, move the case to be deferred until October 9th.
Second. All right. Motion by Mr. Cackney, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Case is deferred.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, moving to the origin of your agenda, the first item for consideration this evening is 267-07, being C-34C-07 in the Brooklyn District. This is William H. Mueller, Amy B. Mueller, and Robert B. Bain. It is a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District to R3C, One Family Residence District Conditional, approximately 5 acres, located on the north line of Hunger Road, and approximately 156 feet west of River Mill Court. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Silver?
Sir, Mr. Manager, members of the board, this request seeks to rezone property to R3C. A single-family subdivision is proposed. The 2010 land use plan recommends suburban residential 1. The applicant has submitted but not proffered a conceptual plan that shows a possible layout of 15 lots This would result in a density of 3.0 units per acre, slightly higher than what's recommended by the SR1. However, the proposed use is consistent with the plan and surrounding developments and the densities of the adjacent residential communities. The applicant has submitted proffers illustrating some of the quality and design standards that they are willing to commit to. Some of these include minimum finished floor area of at least 2,000 square feet for dwellings, brick fronts on a certain percentage of the homes, and sodded and irrigated front and side yards. We have provided you with the revised proffer conditions that have been provided to us today. There are two changes I want to bring to your attention on page 2 of these proffer conditions. Proffer 10 clarifies that stockade fences would not be permitted at all. Previously, there was an exception that had been provided on Proffer 10. Proffer 13 is a new proffer which stipulates there would be no lots that would have direct access onto Hungry Road. So, these are the two changes to the proffer conditions this evening. This request is compatible with adjacent land uses, continues existing development trends in the area, and contains assurances of quality that are not found in adjacent neighborhoods. For these reasons, staff is recommending approval of this request. The Planning Commission, in its consideration of this request on July 12th, also recommended approval. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Silver?
Mr. Chairman, would you see if there's any opposition to this case?
Okay. This is a public hearing. Does anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case or in opposition? You in opposition, ma'am? What, some clarification? Would you want to do that now, Mr. Weber?
Yeah.
Okay. If you'll come on down, please. And tell us who you are, please.
I'm Linda Lippa, and I'm a Henrico County resident. So I live on River Mill Court. And what I was hoping to get some clarification on is if there's any plans for a buffer or privacy between my property, which abuts to the property where they plan to make the development, and just wanted to get an idea of, you know, when I bought the property 15 years ago, it was because of the privacy and nothing behind me. So I've enjoyed that for 15 years and just like to get an idea of what the plans are going forward.
Okay. Mr. Silver, can you address that?
Yes, sir, I will try. Ma'am, they have offered a conceptual plan. They have not committed to this by proffer condition, but this is how they intend to lay out this site. It would contain approximately 15 lots coming in off of Hungry Road with a straight cul-de-sac. I believe you live over on this side of the property. They are not proposing at this time any fence along the back of these lots, but these lots would simply back up to the backyards of these existing lots at this location.
Mr. Silver, we don't normally require buffering, or I don't think we can require a buffer between residential neighborhoods, can we?
Mr. Glover, the code doesn't stipulate that, and we typically do not have buffers between like zoning, single family. So in this particular case, we wouldn't typically ask the developer to provide a fence or buffering between these lots and the adjacent lots.
We couldn't require it either, could we?
If it was offered as a proffer, voluntarily offered by the developer,
no,
we could not require it.
Can we require it?
No, sir.
Pardon me?
No, sir.
Okay. So no, it has to be volunteered by the developer or the person that moves there.
That's correct.
Mr. Silver, on this form, it says it should be the signature of the owner applicant. There's no signature, is that?
Yes, ma'am. The copy we provided you is a black line copy. We do have a copy, the original copy that is signed by the applicant. We do have in the file.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chairman, you want to see if there's anyone else who wants to speak?
Anyone else wishes to speak to this case?
Hearing now, Mr. Chairman, in looking at the case and in hearing the lady has desired for some type of buffer in between it, we can't require it. And this case, I know that the case throughout the Dunkoff area and throughout the development that this lady's in. Their housing, some of them were built by Mr. Bain, as a matter of fact, along that cul-de-sac that she lives in. They are basically the same type of housing. I think the conditions of this case requires a 2,000 square foot finished floor space, which is a slight bit greater than, and it has to have garages. Each home will have garages. I think the quality of this development says that it's worthy of the recommendation that the Planning Commission and the recommendation that the staff has made, and so therefore I'm going to follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and ask that we grant this case.
Second. All right, we have a motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Cackney. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Case is granted.
Item 297-07 being C-32-07 in the Three Chump District. This is R&R Property Development. It is a request to rezone from R5C, General Residence District Conditional, to B1, Business District, approximately 0.15 acres, located on the east line of Spring Oak Drive and approximately 240 feet west of West Broad Street. The Planning Commission voted to recommend, south of West Broad Street. The Planning Commission voted to recommend that the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Silver?
Yes, sir. This request seeks to rezone less than 2/10 of an acre from R5C to B1. The purpose of this request is to provide a secondary connection from the proposed retail shops at Short Pump to Spring Oak Drive. The proposed access drive would be 24 feet wide and would be contained within a 30-foot easement. The access drive would be located between the existing Madison at Spring Oak Apartments and the Spring Oak retail development along Broad Street. An additional connection was contemplated with the original rezoning of B2C in 2006, with zoning case C21C06. That zoning back in 2006, however, restricted the use of the site of the retail shops at Short Pump to B1 uses, except for a furniture store, unless an additional connection was made in addition to the connection to Broad Street. This connection, if approved, would allow additional B2 uses in the shopping center. Staff has encouraged the attempt to provide additional connection for the retail shops at Short Pump. Initial concerns expressed by the Department of Public Works over the design of access have now been addressed, and they are recommending approval of this access. The applicant will need to build a wall or a fence to reduce the transitional buffer requirement between the proposed zoning and the apartments. While the design is somewhat unusual, staff believes this provides improved access alternatives to and from the site and alleviates potential trips onto West Broad Street. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of this request. The Planning Commission and their consideration of this request on August 9th also recommended approval. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Silver?
Is there a proper, or is it just a site plan that limits the use of this land only for access?
The property that's up for rezoning, Mr. Cackley, I guess you're referring to this piece right here.
Yeah.
No, there is no proper. This is an unproffered zoning case, straight B1. But as you can see, it would have little usefulness besides an access strip.
Well, that's the intent, right?
Yes. And it would serve as a back door to this.
But I think, is the site plan proper? I mean, there's...
The layout, this layout on this original piece is proffered from the use standpoint and the layout. The furniture store being on the easternmost side of the property, and then this either being a bank or else retail shops.
Okay. Who is the applicant? Is that the property owner, or is it the development there to the east?
To the east. You're not referring to this strip here?
Well, No, yeah, but who's the owner of that property?
This property right here would still be owned by the apartment owner. They would be, this would be a easement that would go across their property, and R&R Development is the developer of this access driveway and this development that's currently zoned B2C.
Okay, that's exactly, well, we've been concerned about that second access point from the beginning, so this will serve that purpose.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, see if there's any opposition or...
Public hearing. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case?
Can I ask? I'd like to ask one question.
Yes, go ahead.
How does this impact the adjacent, was it R5, R5A? Do they need any other buffer, I mean, or anything? It's going to impact their buffer, I assume. You said about a fence or a wall.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. O'Bannon. Okay. This is a 30-foot wide easement. The pavement is 24 feet wide. There is a transitional buffer requirement of 10 feet between the B1 and the R5.
Right.
If they cannot achieve their 10 feet in that strip, which is not likely, they will need to build a fence or a wall to offset that 10-foot transitional buffer.
And it's the flip side, too.
The R5 does not have any commitment to provide a buffer. That's incumbent upon the B1.
Just the B1. Okay. And my question is, this is a B1, and you're going from a B1 to get to a B2, right?
That is correct,
and that's basically what you're doing.
Yes.
I remember other cases where you can't use a lesser zoning to get to a... more intense zoning, so
yes.
Explain that. I mean, usually, though, they're usually through a residential to a business.
Yes,
or
ma'am.
Something like that.
If this was accessing through residential to get to business, in fact, that's why they're zoning it from R5 to B1. The practice we've used is whether it's B1, B2, or B3, it's all business use, and access through B1, B2, or B3 was all practical to access a commercial use.
So B1 is sufficient to access B2.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what you decide.
B2.
Thank you.
Yep. Did you say B3 or B2?
B2.
To B2.
B2,
right. There's a point, Mr. Silver. Is there an access between the B1 and the B2 on the chart that you have there up near Broad Street? Is there a connection at all at this point?
Between this B1, sir, and this B2?
Yes.
There is no connection right now.
But that's the one that we have been striving for a long time.
That's
and
correct.
That would have been B2 to B1.
Yes, sir. Same point, yes. We were trying to get access through here, which would have gone through the B1 to the B2. And that is a very good point.
Okay. Let's see if anyone else would like to speak to this.
Anyone else wish to speak to this case?
All right. Seeing no... other concerns, Mr. Chairman. I move that we follow the recommendations of the Planning Commission and grant the zoning.
Second. We have a motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 298-07 being C-42C-07 in the Barina District. This is the Capital Region Airport Commission. It's a request to conditionally rezone from M1 Light Industrial District to M2C, General Industrial District Conditional, approximately 9 acres, located on the west line of Lewis Road and approximately 1,100 feet north of Charles City Road. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request.
Yes, sir. This request would rezone 9 acres from M1 to M2C. The purpose of this request is to allow for above-ground storage of 2 30,000-gallon liquid petroleum gas tanks. The proposed tanks would be located on the southwest corner of this site, an area approximately 160 by 200 feet in size. This would be the area for which the tanks would be located. The 9-acre tract is the larger parcel of land. These tanks are being relocated from an existing site, which is currently at the corner of Airport Drive and Norman Road. The 2010 land use plan recommends light industrial uses for the subject property. While the proposed zoning is not entirely consistent with this designation, the applicant has submitted revised proffers limiting the uses on the site to those permitted in the M1 district, except for the allowed above-ground storage tanks as permitted in the B2 district. The applicant has also submitted proffers committing to a 15-foot buffer around the perimeter of the site, security lighting, and an 8-foot security fence around the proposed tanks. Staff feels this request is reasonable, as it's proffered. Although not entirely consistent with the plan, we believe it is compatible with the uses in the area and therefore are recommending approval of this request. The Planning Commission, in its consideration on August 9th, also recommended approval to the board. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Silber? Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case? Seeing none, I think a motion would be in order.
Okay. Seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, then I move that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant case C42C07.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Cackley and second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case is granted.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. 272-07, the Repke Company you had deferred. We move to 299-07, being P-13-07 in the Tree Chop District. This is Maria Garcia Lara. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the County Code to permit outdoor dining at the Mexico Restaurant, located at the Promenade Shops on the south line of West Broad Street, approximately 200 feet west of Spring Oak Drive. Planning Commission voted to recommend that the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. This request is to permit outdoor dining on a 640-square-foot concrete patio attached to the eastern external wall of the Mexico Restaurant. The 2010 land use plan recommends mixed use for the site. A similar request for outdoor dining was approved for the San Francisco Pizza Oven Restaurant, which is no longer in operation, in the same plaza in 2005. The property is zoned BTC, which allows outdoor dining with a provisional use permit. The surrounding properties are either zoned B2C, B3C, with the exception of the Madison at Spring Oak Apartments that are located to the south of the shopping center and zoned R5C. To mitigate potential impacts of noise on apartment residents, conditions have been recommended relating to speaker systems and prohibiting outdoor live performances. Based on the proposed location, description, and recommended permit conditions, an outdoor dining area would be an appropriate use at this location. Staff recommends approval of this request with the 13 conditions contained in the staff report. The Planning Commission recommended approval with the conditions suggested by staff at the August 9th Commission meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Any questions, Mr. Emerson?
This is a pretty typical or standard to our outdoor dining.
Yes, sir. It's very, very typical.
Okay.
Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case? Anyone in opposition?
Okay, seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, move approval of provisional use permit P-1307 with the conditions. How many conditions? 13?
13.
As listed.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Cackley. Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Case is granted.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 300-07, being C-35C-07 in the Verina District. This is D-Town, a request to conditionally rezone from R4 one-family residence district to R5AC, general residence district conditional, approximately 3.6 acres, located at the eastern terminus of Oregon Avenue, approximately 170 feet east of Randall Avenue. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C-35C-07 is a request to rezone approximately 3.6 acres to allow the construction of up to 13 single-family dwellings as an extension of previously approved C-67C-05 East Point Commons. The Richland Heights and National Heights addition subdivisions, zoned R4, are adjacent to the parcel. The 2010 land use plan designates the site suburban residential 1 with a recommended density range of 1 to 2.4 units per acre. The requested density is 3.6 units per acre. The applicant has submitted proffers consistent with those accepted with C67-C05, along with a conceptual plan which reflects the currently zoned property and then the additional 13 lots. The applicant has proffered no more than 13 zero-lot line dwellings on the property, which is intended to be developed using traditional neighborhood design concepts. All homes would be constructed with front porches, and garages would be accessed via alleys. In order to mitigate potential impacts from the alleys to the adjacent properties, the applicant has proffered a white vinyl fence with lattice top and a 4-foot planting strip around the perimeter of the property. No front-loading garages or driveways would be permitted, and there would be no curb cuts along the street frontages. Other proffered items of significance include, but are not limited to, brick foundations. You will have 16 inches of brick measured from grade in order to give the impression of a crawl space. Sidewalks provided on one side of all roads in the development. Oregon Avenue access limited to emergency use only. Primary access from Darbytown. We do have elevations and, of course, the conceptual layout in front of you, and these are the same elevations that were provided with the original case, which do reflect, again, the traditional neighborhood style designs. Minimum finished floor area of 1,700 square feet. Specified materials of brick, stone, hardy plank, vinyl, and PVC. And the private roads are to be constructed to county standards, except for widths. The proposed residential use is consistent with the 2010 land use plan. The proffered conditions provide appropriate quality assurances not otherwise available, and they are consistent with the previously approved case. For these reasons, staff supports this request. The Planning Commission recommended approval of C35-C07 at their August 9th Planning Commission meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Yeah, Mr. Emerson, the R4, the existing R4, it's just straight R4, doesn't have any conditions?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. Let's go back to the zoning map. Yes, sir. It is straight R4.
So that could be developed without any square footages or any kind of proper conditions?
Just yes, like sir. That is correct.
Okay, so this is really an improvement.
Yes, sir. It's an improvement over what could possibly occur. It gives you more control.
Exactly.
It's a logical extension of the original development.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Emerson? Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case or have any opposition? All right.
Seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of case C35-C07 in the Bryan District as per the recommendation of the Planning Commission.
All right. Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Great.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the last case, 271-07, the Tetra Group, has also been deferred until October the 9th. We move into your other public hearing agenda items for this evening. The first is 301-07. This is an ordinance to grant Cavalier IPTV the right and privilege to construct, operate, and maintain a cable system within the county. Mr. Proton.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Cavalier has previously applied for a cable television franchise to operate that system within Henrico County. And for the past couple of months, Mr. Rapisada, Ms. Adams out of Joe's office, and myself have negotiated terms of the agreement with Cavalier, and we are pleased to report to you this evening that the agreement is in order for you to approve should you so desire. The term is for a 15-year term, and it provides for terms and provisions very similar to the other two franchises that already operate in the county. If the board were to approve this tonight, then the citizens would have a third option for cable television in Henrico, the other two, of course, being Comcast and Verizon. My office has not been contacted with any inquiries concerning this matter, but, of course, there may be some individuals that may wish to speak this evening. Cavalier is also represented this evening in case you had any questions of them. And we do recommend this ordinance.
We've reviewed this, Mr. Proto, but I believe the Cable Advisory Commission also took a look at this, did they not?
Yes, sir, they did, Mr. Cackley, and they did review it with them at their last meeting, and they concurred with the proposed action.
Thank you. This company does not have the provisions to provide us any public access channels, do they? Or do they?
Mr. Chairman, they will be required to carry the same PEG channels, but not the public access channel, which is carried by and offered by Comcast, and because Verizon picks up that same channel as well. But Cavalier will need to also carry that channel. It will not originate in an additional channel, but it is required to negotiate a terms with Comcast to pick up that public access channel. But all of the other channels, it will also pick up as well, including the government access channel, education channel, and the other.
So would Cavalier be carrying channel 17 for us?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I think they're prepared.
Because the reason I'm asking is because Verizon's will not allow us to have 17 as a channel for us, our original 17 channel for
S17 on their
right
now, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I just want to get some clarification that.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask the representative from Cavalier to determine. I don't know whether he's in a position to advise us this evening, but. I can't portray to you that we'll be carried as channel 17 on their system. May not be that actual channel, but it will be the programming of the government access channel will be carried. Craig.
Good evening. My name is Craig Pizer. I'm a vice president of business development with Cavalier. To respond to your question, we haven't been approached with that request yet. We tend to group our programming a little bit differently than Comcast has. We try to keep our content based upon different genres. So the first 15 channels are dedicated towards your local over-the-air broadcasts, and then you'll have a sports package. You'll have movie channels or lifestyle channels. Currently, our plans would be we set aside, I believe it's approximately channels 110 to 150, to handle all the different PEG requirements of Henrico, City of Richmond, Chesterfield, and some of the other surrounding communities.
So you can guarantee us that we'll have 17?
Mr. Chairman, I'm gonna ask if we can defer. You know, we made the mistake granting Verizon without setting this. I'd like to make sure that Channel 17 is designated. And you know what? Maybe they don't want to, but we can defer it. Right? I know.
Well, you know, 17 is our citizens are really tuned in on 17 and for emergency notification. You know, people would really rely on 17.
But in terms of emergency notification, I mean, we will comply with the emergency alert system.
I'd like to clarify that Channel 17 is the Henrico channel, and I'd like to make sure we defer this until we get an answer to it. But, yeah. That's the board and do what they want to, but I think we should have done it with Verizon, and we didn't do it because we just made an assumption that they recognized that Channel 17 was Henrico County channel. Now, you know, maybe that we can't require it, but we can defer it and find out.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if we have an answer tonight from Mr. Pizer. You know, legally, you cannot dictate.
I know,
Mr. Glover. I just want to make clear to the board. The board can't assign the numbering for the franchisee. Now, obviously, you can ask them, and I thought I heard Mr. Pizer say their initial plan was to be in the 100 series, but did you want to?
Yeah, I mean, I think I honestly don't know what's carried on Channel 17 today in the Richmond market. Frankly, if there is nothing carried on that channel, I don't see there being an issue with carrying Channel 17 there. My other suggestion would be we could set aside channel 117, which would carry the 17th.
It's a long ways between 17 and 117.
I agree.
Mr. Chairman, I really would like to just defer it and clarify what you can do and what you can't do, because it's important to Henrico County citizens to know where their channel is.
Okay.
But you see a problem with that?
I think it's good.
I don't see any issue with a deferral. I would suggest September 25th, if that gives Mr. Pizer, that I give you enough time to report back.
Yeah, that should give me plenty of time.
That'd be my
suggestion. Does it give you enough time to designate 17, not just to report back? I'm not. It's not a.
Yeah,
it's not a.
we would have to notify all of our existing cable customers.
Well, you know, we're being asked to grant you something, aren't we?
Yes, but
I'm asking you to grant us something.
To the extent that we need to move programming in order to put 17 there, we'll need to notify all of our Richmond area residents in order to comply.
I think that's what you should have considered before you started putting them where you had them. And I like Cavalier, by the way. I don't want to hold you up at all. I think competition is good. But when you place us up in 117s, who goes up there?
Okay.
And I'd like very much, and when you come back and say that on the 25th and say, well, I don't think we can do it, I'm going to vote against it. I'm going to tell you right up front. Now, I can't dictate to you, but I don't have to approve what you're asking for. Mr. Evans, I think, has worked with the county very well in the past. I think he'd be willing to do it again.
We'll do what we can.
Okay.
All right.
That's all I ask. Do what you can.
Is that a motion, Mr. Glover?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Glover for deferral to September 25th.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case is deferred.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, still under public hearing agenda 302-07. This is an ordinance for vacation of right-of-way, drainage easement, and slope and drainage easement within the Presbytery Center in Fairfield District. Mr. Price.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, approval of this ordinance will vacate the right-of-way for Presbytery Court and a drainage easement and slope and drainage easement in Presbytery Center. This will allow for development of the gardens at Virginia Center Apartments. If Presbytery Court is vacated, a utility easement will be reserved in the entire area of Presbytery Court. This request has been processed through the Departments of Planning, Public Utilities, and Public Works without objection.
Chairman, do you see anybody against this?
It's a public hearing. Anyone wishes to speak to the ordinance? We'll see.
Move on, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 303-07 is an ordinance for vacation of a building line. Lot 22, Block K, Section D, Fort Hill Subdivision, Three Top District. Right.
Approval of this ordinance will vacate the subdivision building line on Lot 22, Block K, Section D of Fort Hill Subdivision. The owners, Willard Klein II and Jennifer R. Klein, want to make improvements to the property to provide for better handicap accessibility, but are prevented from doing so by the building line restriction. Also, Mr. Klein works for Henrico County Public Schools and has not nor will not participate in this matter in his official capacity. This request has been processed through the Departments of Planning, Public Utilities, and Public Works without objection.
Any questions? Well, public hearing. Anyone wishes to speak to this ordinance?
Seeing no comments, Mr. Chair, move the ordinance.
Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Chairman and members of the board, that completes your public hearing agenda for this evening. We move to the public comment session. Mr. Chairman, I do have three individuals who signed up. You might want to advise the audience.
This is the time of the evening that we set aside for anyone in the audience that wishes to speak to the board on any item that's not on the agenda. And you don't have to sign up to speak. But we do have three, you say, and we'll take those first, and after that we'll take anyone else that might want to speak. Okay.
The first is Jane Zinn and Alicia L. Fox. Ms. Fox, as you start, the board allows 5 minutes for each individual who, as soon as you've been briefed on that, so.
So we get 10 minutes?
You get 5 minutes, ma'am, on the same subject.
What I want to ask is for reconsideration of what the violation of Section 24-95M, which was quite a surprise to me because almost 11 years ago, I bought an antique bathtub to put as a planter in my backyard. I thought it was architectural salvage. I paid a pretty penny for it. $225. This is my 40th birthday present to myself. Well, 10 years later, I find out I had to go to court because I was in violation saying that I had dumped building materials in my backyard. Now, I never thought of my planter as being a dumping. I never thought of my planting planter as being abandoned building materials. Never came out of my house, and it is, I thought, a very nice planter. My neighbors thought it was a nice planter, and I'm not the only one in the county who has this planter. There's another building similar in my area on Vale Avenue. I live in the Lakeside District. When I first put the planter in, it was in the Brooklyn District. It is now in the Fairfield District. There is now another planter, also a salvage bathtub, that the county should also recognize is a planter at the Luskenter Botanical Gardens. Now, if I'm in violation of this county code, then they are too. I don't see why salvaging a beautiful piece of a 1913 straw foot bathtub is in violation, because it is a nice planter and it's very easy for me to access. Now that I'm handicapped, I can't get down on the ground. I need a raised bedding area. And this had started off an excess of $8,000 improvement in my backyard on plantings. I would like the board to consider amending it, or at least making sure that if anyone else wants to put a nice planter bathtub in their backyard and they keep it up as a planter, they're not fined $100 and told this is dumping building materials in their backyard. Obviously, there needs to be some clarification. And also, I don't see why almost 11 years after I put in my planter, I am now accused of dumping building materials in my backyard. That's mostly my case. Is that anything you want to say? It was my birthday present, and I want to keep it. Okay. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Mr. Manager, is this the result of some complaint or something?
Yeah. As we understand it, Ms. Cackley, I've not looked into it, only from the staff standpoint of advising me. It was an original complaint. We will look into it further. Of course, this is the item that is going through the court's proceedings at this point.
Oh.
Okay. But I will let you know that the judge had a hard time finding it as well in the zoning ordinances to see that the bathtub was in violation. I understand the spirit of the law. If you take out a piece of material, your toilet or your old dishwasher, dump it in the back of your property, I understand that is a nuisance. That shouldn't be there. However, I don't think the spirit of the law isn't going to tell me I can't put a piece of beautiful architectural salvage in my backyard as part of a planting ornamental design back there. That's my personal feeling.
But the case is in court right now. Somebody charged you with a violation?
Yes, we got a summons in violation of it, and we are appealing it.
Is that a neighbor or what?
We have no idea. They never said.
Oh.
But it was a full 10 years after it went in my backyard, and it has never moved.
Okay.
No. So maybe the county is just a little lax in their, I don't know. But 10 years afterwards.
We are looking into it, Ms. Fox.
I appreciate that, Mr. Hayes.
I don't know where we are. Of course, it's in court, and that's one thing I have to caution the board on, but we're seeing what we can find out. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Next individual signed up, Ms. Chairman, members of the board, Greg Rollins, Three Chop District.
Good evening. I live next to Deep Run Park, and I've talked to Mr. Cackley and Mr. Ignati about the trail system, the unpaved trails in Deep Run. And I live next to this park and use the park regularly, and I have a concern about what's happening in the park. The trails, the unimproved trails, which users have made themselves, either walkers or bikers, have beaten down path all over the wooded area in the park. And I've approached the park system several times about managing the trails properly, and to no avail. The county has decided not to do anything about it. and I'd really like you all to do something about it. I think there's ways to manage that. The proposal that I did bring to the park system was a volunteer organization, Richmond Moore, who would come in, manage the trails properly, make them safe, eliminate the maze of trails, reclaim the areas, help the park system have a really nice system.
So there's a lot of use of the bicycles in there without the trails, you say?
There's bicycles, runners, walkers, hikers, using trails off of the paved system that's in there now throughout the woods.
And, okay. You propose a kind of a natural trail, or what?
It would be a natural dirt trail, probably 3 feet wide at the most. It would be a system of trails that made sense. Right now, there's a maze of trails that go in multiple directions.
Mm-hmm.
They go over logs. They go through swamps.
So people have just made these trails themselves, right?
Yes. They're unkept.
The frequency of use.
Yeah, they're what we would call social trails, where somebody said they want, you know, they see an area they want to go through, and they walk through it, and sooner or later, it's beaten down in its path.
Yeah.
Is that occurring in some of the other parks as well?
I can't speak for the other parks since I live next to Deep Run. I use it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the group I belong to worked on trails out in Dory, and the county closed them, the bicycles, but from what I understand, they're still being used. Dory is the other side of the county for me, so I don't use it. And I know people that really want to use those trails. Well, they're using them.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Mr. Manager, I know you've got some concerns about bicycle trails, and I don't know if the parks have actually, reviewed the case as whether the merits plus or minus. But could you follow up and see if there is enough interest, either by Parks Recs or board, to see if we might.
We sure can
proceed.
So,
all right, you follow
Mr. Hazel.
With them and with the board, see if there is support.
Yes, I will. I'll have to get the particulars in reference to the anticipated uses. I had been approached by employees within Parks and Recreations indicating that some of the uses, I do have a concern in reference to a policy in reference to some of the uses. That would, of course, have to be discussed with the board, and I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
I'll get all the particulars from Mr. Rollins and staff and see what we can do.
Yeah, I've worked with Karen, so. All right. Thanks. Appreciate you looking into it.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Mr. Chairman, is Gail Randall.
Good evening. My name is Gail Randall, and I reside in Henrico County. In June of this year, I read an article in the Richmond Times-Dispatch that I really could not believe. It stated that Henrico County does not audio or videotape and record any of its Board of Supervisors meetings, nor broadcast them live or for tape later. In fact, there are not even official minutes of meetings, only summaries. How can this be? Is our county government not a public body made up of 5 supervisors who are elected by us, the taxpayers and citizens of this county? What possible reason could there be for not recording these meetings and providing an accurate record of discussions and decisions? One supervisor, Patricia O'Bannon, has repeatedly made a motion that would require the supervisors' meetings to be at least audio recorded. And only after that newspaper article appeared in the paper did the rest of the board agree to audiotape these meetings, quote, on a trial basis, but only through October of this year. But these tapes are not even to be considered official for minutes and can be edited. What does that mean? these recordings can be edited? In what way? I simply do not understand this. The obvious question would be, what are you trying to hide? What don't you want us to know? And if not hiding something, then what is the reason? It is my understanding that this meeting room is already equipped for both audio and video broadcasting. So why are these meetings not being broadcast live on a community access TV channel? We've just heard a lot about Channel 17 in here. Henrico County has its own channel. And yet the meetings of its governmental committees and the Board of Supervisors are not televised. Why not? It's nice to see the excellent historic programs, as I saw today, and to have notices posted, but I ask you, what could possibly be more appropriate or more important than to be able to watch the actual proceedings of the Board of Supervisors who are conducting the vital business of this county? How wonderful it would have been for all these moving tributes that we had here tonight to have been seen by thousands of Henrico County citizens. With a county budget of over $1 billion, even a few hundred thousand to make the board meetings accessible and provide accurate records of these meetings is a small price to pay. However, I even question that cost estimate. If the technology is already in place, it should be fairly inexpensive to use it. You might even be able to find people willing to volunteer their time to help broadcast and tape the meetings. Retirees are one segment of society routinely overlooked for the excellent resources for help. Many have the time, the skills, and the willingness to give to their community. All you have to do is ask. I recently moved to Henrico from James City, where the Board of Supervisor meetings have been broadcast live and videotaped for years. I often watch them from my home. If this policy can be followed by a county with just slightly more than one-tenth the population of Henrico, how can our county justify its current policy of denying this kind of accountability and openness of government to its citizens? You are responsible to us for the decisions you make, how you make them, and how you spend our money. We deserve to have accurate, unedited, official records of these board meetings. Anyone should be able to review what was said, by whom, and exactly what transpired. So, in summary, our county's Board of Supervisor meetings should be broadcast live, video recorded. The tape of that meeting could then be rebroadcast as often as desired, audio recorded, and accurate, more complete meetings typed for each meeting. The audio and videotapes and a copy of written minutes should be accessible and available for any citizen of the county to review upon request. We hear a lot that our elected officials want to make our governmental bodies more open and transparent to citizens and provide more accountability. The current policy of the Henrico County Board of Supervisors is most definitely counter to that goal. So I urge you to drop your current opposition to broadcasting and taping your board meetings and adopt the recommendations made above to provide the necessary accountability to us, the county citizens. Thank you.
Mr. Manager, just a point of information. Are we auditing our audio recordings?
When you say audit, the clerk goes through those tapes. We do not touch the tapes. We do not do anything to those tapes. They are recorded on a CD, and they are provided to anyone who wishes to have them.
All right.
And they are used as a basis for him reviewing his summary minutes. Yes, sir.
All right. Is that all you have, Mr. Manager?
That's the last person who signed up this evening. Yeah. There may be others.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Board.
Good evening.
My name is Lynette Dude, and I live in the Grayson Park subdivision. And I was here the last board meeting with opposition of the satellite parking lot for RRR that they had acquired. When I left the meeting the next day, I got a call from
the community police officer. And I got a call the next day from Mr. Fritz at RIR to have a meeting with him. So I was very optimistic about the changes that were going to happen at this race. But the neighbors, we were very disappointed. Very disappointed. First, I would like to say that on Friday night, I was coming from my home health nurse daughter's 16th birthday party, coming off of 295 by Memorial Regional Hospital coming through Hanover. When we hit the train track where the satellite parking lots are, there were so many people in the street that they would not move or do anything. They were drunk. They were doing everything. When we got to the light at Azalea and Richmond Henrico, the police officer directed me to turn right. I told him, no, I was not turning right. At that time, I was threatened to be arrested because I said I needed to get home and take my medication because I have chronic health problems. I'm a citizen, and I live in this community. And they had Richmond Henrico blocked off, and they wanted me to go around 2 miles, and I would not do so. So they continued to threaten me, to arrest me. So what I said to them, if you arrest me, I guarantee you, you're going to arrest a whole lot of more people out here also that don't live in this community. On Saturday, the races, we have several houses in our subdivision that sell their lot to the race fans. The community, the other residents in the community came out to let the race fans know that there was free parking right down the street. They didn't know. Several other race fans also said that they go all over to different races and they've never seen anything like this Richmond race, that everybody do whatever they want to do. I want to commend Officer Snyder, which is our community police officer. Officer Snyder made great attempts to try to make sure no one parked on our street. If so, they were going to get towed. He did. And Officer Nelson on their bicycle. We had another officer stationed at the end of our street. At about 5 o'clock, I had had enough. I got cursed out by a neighbor because we was like, you know, you all can go down the street and park free, and they'll bust you right into RIR. They said we didn't know that. We did turn several around, and they got their money back. And some of the neighbors got upset with us, but that was okay. The police officer also made a comment to me. If you don't like NASCAR, you're not going to stop NASCAR from coming into Richmond. So when NASCAR comes twice a year, I advise for your husband to take you out of town so you don't have to deal with it. He also, the same police officer, also made the comment to me that at 5 o'clock, because I have chronic health issues, I had a severe migraine. But all the neighbors said we want to come back out after the races were over with to make sure that they didn't throw beer bottles and everything in our driveways, trash, all of this. This was 11:30 at night. We walked down to the end of our block where the police officer was stationed, and he was asleep. I knocked on his window, and I said to him, do you see all these cars parked on our street? He said, well, at 7:30, Public Works takes up the signs. We cannot enforce. They can park. They can do whatever they want to do. This is what was said to me. At that time, I told the police officer, he said, I advise you, when I moved to Richmond, I moved to Verona. Didn't know that the airport airplanes were flying all over. He said, so what I advise you to do, because you're not going to stop NASCAR, I advise you to move. That's what the police officer said to me. At that time, I said to the police officer, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. I said, if this was
a predominantly black event, because I've seen it happen, you all will have paddy wagons and everything and locking people up left and right from being drunk. The officer at that time told me, step away from my car, get away from my car, and he rolled up his window. We went back down the street where we were, our house. The race fans were coming through. They were keeping all type of noises. They were picking with our dog. One race fan was so upset that we went to a neighbor house at 12:30 in the morning, rang the doorbell so that they could get out, because the person that had charged in the park, they went and knocked on the door, and they laughed in their face. And our neighbor had on his pajamas, and he moved his car so this race fan could get out the driveway of the person that charged them to park. When I met with Mr. Fritz, we have an area at the end of our cul-de-sac that is wooded. One of the residents that charge people, which is $20 to $30 a car. Now, one house in the cul-de-sac can hold at least 150 cars. We had traffic on our street, noise up until 3 a.m. Sunday morning. My neighbor right there has staked off her driveway with trash cans with a red ribbon. Sunday morning, there was nothing but beer bottles and everything trash in her trash can. We asked the police officer, why don't you stop these people that's drunk? One of you could have been driving down the street and a drunk driver hit them, and they know they're drunk, but they just let them go. It's just like they turned their head. Whatever goes, goes. I refuse to live in my house and be dictated and be threatened by police officers because we are voicing our concerns about the races and some of the fans. On Richmond Henrico, there's an area that is no parking all the time. The signs are there all the time. It's a gravel, it's not paved, it's no parking. There were so many campers, there were so many cars in the street that you couldn't even get through. My daughter rode me through where Forest Lawn Cemetery is. They were camped out there. We got up to Laburnum, where Ruby Red is. Several police officers were just in their car, just talking to one another. And you have, I don't know how many people that's doing everything out there. Also, some of the houses in our community, not on our block, are vacant. The race fans use those houses to park, to camp, to do whatever. And I think some neighbors also charge them for that. Vendors are at different locations in the county of Henrico selling paraphernalia for the races. Shouldn't they have a business license to do that? Even though they're on private property, shouldn't they have a business license to do that?
We do require them. Can't tell you that every one of them, but they are required an itinerant merchant's license, yes, ma'am.
Where are the police officers checking to see if they have a license to do business in the county, Henrico?
I can't tell you that, Ms. Good.
Okay. Well, do you know if you can? So that, because when we came from the Hanover area, there was a lot of parking areas they could have parked, but soon we hit the railroad tracks in Henrico County, that's when all the chaos. Something has to be done. Also,
Ms. Gu, you need to wrap up. I've allowed this to go 10 minutes.
Okay. To make a long story short, I would just like for the police officers
to treat us with respect. I also would like whatever that can be a force with the community as far as selling property to sell their to park race fans, to sell their lots, that what can we do to help make that better? Because there's clearly a breakdown in communication somewhere. And I know it's not all with the Henrico Police Department. The community has to come together, and other things have to come together. But I would like to see a change.
I'll be glad to see what we can do, Mayor.
Mr. Chairman, I remember last month that Ms. Gu did come up and express her thoughts. And even at that time, most of us who care about people, we can tell when people are genuine. My concern is that, and I get calls since I represent the district in which the race occurs, and I think we have a situation here. Here is the situation, and you know that I'm a person who supports the races, but we have a situation where the race event itself, the two of them, has a $221 impact on the area. And as Mrs. Good said, maybe a county official said, someone said that NASCAR is not going to stop. And I agree with that NASCAR is not going to stop. But within that context of that statement, I think what we need to do now is with the complaints I've been hearing over the years, and we have made improvements, I'm seeing a little movement toward now wherein we have some problems with crowd control. And it looks like now that we arrive at a point, and Ms. Gu hit on something that is extremely sensitive to me, that is for a prestigious county such as us to have an illustrious event as the NASCAR event. But at the same time, we have residents of the county that we hold in high esteem, and members come who don't live here and disrespect them and treat them in a most uncordial way. Now, we can't afford to have that. So I think what we need to do now, we've heard some criticism, and I'm for this. I'm for if we have a challenge, if we have a problem, let's work it out. And since we cannot eradicate that event, as I say, I'm supportive of it, I think it's time now that the county has to take another position. Because some of this is, as I see a policeman, I think the policeman sometimes are helpless as to what to do. All of these people coming in. So we got to look at some policy change, some attitudinal change that we need to do. So, Mr. Manager, I think that from the constructive statements that I hear and the phone calls I get, we probably need to, and I hope that you would initiate this, we probably need to have a little task force to kind of look at how people are treated, how we handle the traffic and all that. And I don't even know whether or not they got the tickets this time. They usually get some cards. I don't know whether they went out. But we can't have residents of the county who continually come up and tell us that they're being disrespected. Now, there's two sides to it. Some of the residents themselves, I think, exacerbate this by letting people park in their yards. But now, again, that's a county situation because we allow that. It's really against the law. So I'm saying, Mr. Manager, we need to have some type of study to see how can we improve this. How can people also get respect back? And I think that the RIRA can bring something to the table. I'm just concerned about people coming to Henrico and the allegations about the people being inebriated and those type of things. And, you know, we have to be consistent. If I can't walk down the street drinking a beer, we got to be consistent that some of the people don't even live here can do that. And I know what has happened. We got caught up in some traditions. So I'm just saying, Mr. Manager, we need to take a look at that and see, can we come to some resolutions and how we can make improvement on that. Because we don't need our names smeared. We don't, and I even think the people who come here may be surprised that they're allowed to do some of that. And I disapprove of a person coming to where I live and disrespects the locality.
Yeah.
So I think for this whole board, this should be a concern that we should be sensitive to. And I appreciate citizens who genuinely come who want to change that. And I don't think that the community can do it by itself. I do think, Mr. Manager, it's time for us to take a look at it. Last month, I suggested for us to add some residents to one of those boards that kind of take a look at how can we improve this. But I even think more of that now. We need to take a look at a study of how things have been happening and how we can prevent some of these events. How can we can improve that? And I think that we are counting of the prestige that is expected of us. And I would just hope that, Ms. Manager, that you will husband that in any way that I can be helpful and maybe even get volunteers to do that. Because I just really dislike citizens coming up and telling us that they've been disrespected. And I know that the policemen need a little help and guidance on this too. So I'm hoping that we can do something about that so that maybe in the future, one day, before I leave, maybe that person like Ms. Gould could come up and say, ha-ha, we made a difference, we made a change. But right now, let's see what we can do about that. Go ahead, please.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak this evening? Anyone else?
Okay, we'll move right along.
Hearing none, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I will proceed into the general agenda. First item is 304-07. This is an introduction of ordinance to amend and reordain subsection B of section 21-124 of the code titled Rates in order to establish a new minimum rate for taxicab trips originating at the Richmond International Airport. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this establishes a public hearing date for October the 9th. This is the item that was discussed with you in work session that in essence establishes a minimum charge for a trip in Henrico County of $10 or the charge registered on the meter, whichever is greater.
At the airport.
At the airport, yes.
Move the resolution for introduction.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item 305-07 is an introduction of a resolution. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is the largest budget paper that you normally consider. This is receipt of request for amendments to the 0708 annual physical plan to reappropriate funds for continuing grant programs and certain unencumbered balances from 0607 and the appropriate funds for certain new programs. Mr. Patokas will lead off here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, before you is the introduction resolution for the largest amendment paper of the year. But before I offer you some specifics on that paper, what I'd like to do is recognize your acting budget director, Gene Walter, who has largely compiled the paper before you. Mr. Walter has been with Henrico County for 10.5 years, and prior to that spent 12 years with VCU. He brings over 22 years of budget experience, a good demeanor, and a solid work ethic to the job. He will be presenting budget amendments to the board while we both serve in our acting capacities, and he will do so at the public hearing. What I'd like to do is, you all have the amendment before you has three separate components. Due to the complexity of the amendment, we actually color code each of the amendments. There was a memorandum that was sent out that describes the components of this amendment, but as far as the overall total, what you will see is that these three components total $49.3 million. Not all of that is a new appropriation, as the first component represents a reappropriation for grant programs. Those are that's the Ivory section that's on pages 2 through 17. Those reappropriations, as you recall,
don't include any general fund appropriations. They're largely special revenue fund appropriations, the largest component of which is the school grant funds, which totals $11.3 million. The second component is also a reappropriation. However, that's a reappropriation for continuing programs. The largest component in that section represents your reappropriation for Public Works Department, which is supported partially or largely by gasoline taxes. And that reappropriation totals $4.6 million. The third and final component is the one that you're familiar with and that you have seen and you will see throughout the year. That may be found on the pink pages that traverse through from pages 21 through pages 37. Overall, the paper totals, as I noted, $49.3 million last year. Just as a point of information, the paper totaled $54.2 million. If this paper is introduced, it will be advertised on in the Richmond Times-Dispatch on September the 18th, and the public hearing will be held on the 25th.
Any questions?
Mr. Tokas,
yes, sir.
On special revenue fund for this, I guess, fund 1109, page 15, I don't remember in previous years, Title 10405, Title 10506, Title 10607. Does that mean it's being carried over from each of those years?
Yes, sir. What you are looking at, the descriptions in those numbers to the left, the numbers to the left actually represent account code combinations in our Oracle financial system. Descriptions on the right represent the grant type, and yes, you're absolutely correct, Mr. Glover. Those appropriations represent, for instance, Title II Federal Class Size 0506. There are funds that were appropriated for a Title II grant from the federal government for fiscal year 06 that were not expended in fiscal 06, fiscal 07, and are being carried forward into 08. Of course, you can't. The carry forward is only you can only carry forward funds as long as they are measurable, i.e., that the that these funds will be received by the county and paid by the federal government in fiscal 08.
Well, what I didn't understand is why are we requested to carry forward from 04-05? I assume that we reappropriated that last year, and we were reappropriating 05-06, and now 06-07. Why are we being asked to do that? Why isn't it being expended, and why are we continue to carry it forward?
Well, the why it isn't being expended, I would have to defer to schools on. But why it's being carried forward, I can tell you that these funds are identified by the granting agency for a specific purpose in a specific year. Those years can carry forward.
Mm-hmm.
The granting agency will allow it. But
we've got $11,299,000 that we are reappropriating for schools. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is the reappropriation for grants just for schools. You can find that total on the bottom of page 17.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that... Do we normally carry, did you use the figure just now that last year we carried forward, I think it was a total amount, but we carry forward this, but it seems that it's all previous years to the last year's budget. So I don't understand why we're not using those funds if they're made available. For instance, Head Start, it appears, is $540,000. We're carrying forward from 06-07.
That will.
But yet and still the governor is talking about doing something with some more money. Why, if we're not using it, why are we being asked as citizens to put forth more money as taxpayers? I'm not talking about the county of Henrico.
Yes, sir. Mr. Glover, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, for allowing me to come tonight. And it's been a number of meetings since I've had the opportunity to speak before you. on behalf of the school board superintendent and the schools, I'd like to tell you how much we appreciate all your support and working with us every year, and in particular when we look to reappropriate these dollars at the beginning of each new fiscal and school year. To answer your first question specifically, the federal programs, which are all the title programs and Head Start, have a 36-month rolling window. And what that means is from the time we apply to them until the window closes to actually take all the encumbrances and convert those to expenditures and ask for reimbursement, we have a 36-month rolling window. It's a three-year consolidated application. What we find is a lot of times with the programs, we don't know exactly, and try to give you a specific answer about, I think you asked about Title I, 0405.
That is an example.
We don't know exactly when we have certain programs that we put in place for a specific school, say Title I school, which this would be. We may have some encumbrance that we have a special piece of reading software, for example, that may be coming. We've encumbered that. We're waiting for that to come and then pay the bill. What we do, we are allowed to, under federal guidelines, actually pay that bill out of the subsequent year's budget and then go back and charge that expenditure back into a prior year. And what we see this year with a little bit more detailed coding from Oracle, what we see is that to be quite honest with you, this needs to be cleaned and rolled into the current year. And if you'll go over, I think you'll see Title I for 06-07. And I apologize for the numbering scheme, page 2, but just to continue with the thought on. So
this is the sheet thing.
Mr. Patokas could help me with the
absolutely.
Just the second page that's in the board package. Yeah, I'm just looking for the current year Title I. Anyway, from an accounting perspective, that I think was $56,000. Should have been charged into a subsequent year. In essence, we're borrowing from future years. Because of the federal year future potential 36 months that we have to spend those dollars, and I hope that it wasn't
confusing. I hate to say this, but it appears to me, being not knowing the accounting process and Oracle and what you're talking about, it appears to me that you have $11 million more than you need.
Well,
because you didn't spend it on the things that you said you were going to spend it on, and you know what? When you carry over for 3 years. It means that you don't need what's there. So can you give it back to us?
Taxpayer would like to have it.
Well, you know, Mr. Glover, we, as you know, the numbers probably as well as anyone, we have a very favorable average per pupil cost compared to many localities here.
I don't doubt that a bit, but you still got more money than you need. When you carry over from 04-05, you had more money than you needed, Dave.
Yeah.
Now, I just have to say it out loud, because I believe it. Because if you look at it, it's $11,299,000 that we're going to carry forward that y'all didn't need last year. But yet still, I read in some of the minutes of some of the meetings that we've had recently that we needed more money.
I certainly understand what you are saying, Mr. Glover. A good
can
portion
you give it back to us?
No, sir. I prefer that we didn't. A good chunk of that are federal appropriations that just became available because of the federal year, and that's the one point I think I was trying to make.
Well, I didn't. You probably explained it real well. I just didn't hear it real well. Okay. But I think you got more money than you need, so we're going to go ahead and give it back to you, though. Let you carry it over again next year.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and we,
you know, our fire department, our police department, they'd like to have a little of it in their pay scale.
Well, I'd be delighted to answer any additional questions.
Thank you.
There, in the pink pages, the. These are regular budget amendments, I guess, for this year.
Yes, sir. Those are your new amendments for September.
The page 37 is just a transfer. That's not a. Is that a budget amendment?
No, sir. Mr. Cackley, you're absolutely correct. What we are doing on page 37, or what we're requesting on this amendment, is you have from the blue amendments a carry forward within public works. Of that
of that carry forward, a portion of it every year is requested to be used in the capital budget. And in this case, what you're doing, or what you're being asked to do, is allocate $1.8 million for one-time capital projects in these areas: traffic signals, general road construction, and bridge rehabilitation. These are, Mr. Priest, correct me if I'm wrong, but these are recurring type capital projects that we have within Public Works.
But is that a unused fund from last year's budget that carried over forward?
Yes, sir, the $1.8 million.
But it was in the operating fund for something.
The operating component of the Public Works budget. And so this transfer is simply recognizing the movement of $1.8 million from the general fund to the capital projects fund. There is no net change.
Members of the board, are funds which are not used in the Public Works budget. Normally, a large portion of them comes from the fact that we did not remove as much snow as we had budgeted for and so forth. We carry a portion of that into the capital budget on a reoccurring basis. This is where we put up traffic signals that are warranted during the year we don't budget because we don't know when they'll be there, and so this takes care of that, which is the $300,000. General road construction, some unforeseen projects, and of course, bridge rehab, which we don't know about until it occurs. We've been routinely doing this so that we don't go to the general fund for additional funds during the year, Mr. Cackett. We take it from that which is available in the Public Works budget.
Okay, but this is in addition to funds that are already in the capital budget for Public Works, are they not?
Yes, sir. Those would be funds which are directly allocated to specific projects. These are carried forward for purposes which are not identified in your capital budget, such as a traffic signal. We don't know when a traffic signal will be warranted or where it is.
Well, I thought we had some money in the capital budget for traffic signals, and this is additional.
This is additional, sir.
Ms.
I know where there's a need for a traffic signal, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. You got that extra money?
I assure you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, there is not a lot of extra money in Public Works budget because we put most of it into paving, as
you
know.
Now, we put it into construction, right.
We need
to build some roads.
To the point the manager just made, the carry forward this year for Public Works is significantly lower than what it was last year. What you're seeing at the state level as far as transportation funding.
Right. Yeah, we need all help we can get. I know that.
Yeah, the governor took a little bit of that away from us in the new bill, didn't he?
I think it was
$20 million. Somewhere between $11 and $22 million, I think the governor decided we didn't need it.
Okay. Mr. Matokas, recently read that we got some reimbursement from FEMA in the tune of $3 million or something like that.
Yes, sir.
Is that in here, or is that coming in later?
No. The FEMA reimbursement is not budgeted. The revenue, that is not budgeted. You as a board authorized. It's a reimbursement. That's
right.
Yeah. So it will come back to your general fund fund balance, yes.
We are.
We have to approve giving or lending it. And we have to approve receiving it again?
No, sir. You've approved the appropriation. This reimbursement will come back and be recorded in your fund balance as of June 30, 2007. As the auditors, there was some question as to when you
could consider it
a revenue.
Well, we didn't receive it until after that time. So
we're not receiving it until after that time, but they have said that it was measurable prior to that time, accounting term as far as recognizable revenue. So it will be recorded on your financials as of June 30, 2007.
That's the accounting process, Mr. Cackley. It's not when you get the money. It's when they think you should have gotten it to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Abedin, do you have a question?
I just had a couple of questions. Page 36, it's in the pink section. I had two questions.
Uh-huh.
About the this, I'm just, it's probably an accounting thing, just as you said, the Aqua Virginia Water System. A new BFI, it said we'll pay the county $2,319,000.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the first line. Is the second line something that's being paid out? Is that the way I'm reading that?
The second amendment, that amendment is actually purchasing the assets of Aqua Virginia.
Okay.
So that that
from fund balance.
That funding source absolutely is coming from your general fund balance. The item above, the $2.3 million,
mm-hmm.
which is funding the interconnections and conversions for all of those customers,
mm-hmm.
will come from revenues paid from BFI in the form of connection fees. So in one case, you have water and sewer revenues that are being utilized. In this other case, in the $1.5 million, that is an actual appropriation or use of the county's fund balance.
Fund transfer.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so one comes from BFI and the other one comes from a fund transfer.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just trying to figure out. One is not going in and the other going out. Both are coming in.
Well,
one's a transfer.
The funding sources are different in that you have a funding source in this fund for the Aqua Virginia. In the other case, you have a funding source from the county's general fund balance.
The other is on page 5,
uh-huh.
the Plantation Pipeline Consent Order, and I believe I know what this is, but that was the settlement.
It was. That was the we had an appropriation in June,
mm-hmm.
for this grant, for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
and it is the settlement. This is simply allowing you to carry forward those funds, or recognizing the carry forward of that appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
It was appropriated in June. I can't recall what the second meeting in June was, but there wasn't a whole lot of time to spend $200,000.
Oh, so this is the one this is what came in earlier.
Yes,
in your transfer.
It's the same one.
Okay.
It has not been expended
okay.
yet.
Okay. Because I know that the fire department was going to buy a computer program, and they haven't done that yet. Is that
it? It just came in June,
okay.
and we know what we wanted to acquire. It was
mm-hmm.
the process to do that could not be completed before the end of this fiscal, before the end of the last fiscal year, beginning of this fiscal year. So you have
okay.
to move it forward.
Even so,
in June. The fiscal year was July. So you're okay.
And these funds, this $200,000,
right.
the appropriation will be made the end of September. They have until the 15th of October to tie up the money.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's just tie up the money? They don't
yes,
have
ma'am.
To
they don't have to
buy the
it. They have to actually tie it up in
okay.
a purchase order.
Purchase order.
Yes, ma'am.
Because that was part of it. It's very important, that particular program that they get, that is a program of following what businesses in the area, what chemicals they have, and when the fire truck comes up, they can push the computer button, and they'll see what chemicals are in this particular fire. So that was the intent. Was a very good way to spend the money. So, but they have until October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other problem. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Ready for a motion.
Okay.
Okay. Move the introduction.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 306-07, this is a resolution for award of contract for engineering services for the Glenn Allen Softball Complex field lighting replacement.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award a contract to Wiley and Wilson in the amount of $72,800 for the design for replacement of softball field lighting at Glen Allen Softball Complex. Currently, there are four fields, each of which have eight lights, which would be redesigned for replacement. If the board were to approve this evening, our hope would be to have this completed by April of 2008. That is the actual improvements by then. That is the objective.
Okay. Any questions? Motion be in order. It's Glen Allen Complex. It's the over by Virginia Center, Virginia Randolph. Do you want that much?
Move resolution.
You sure you want to move it?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
One clarification, Mr. Chairman. I heard a second to my left and to my right.
You can have both of them if you want. Good to the right.
Be
all right.
Is that so far Glenn Allen?
That's why the process minutes recorded to make sure.
Oh, why they call it Glenn Allen.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 307-07. This is a resolution for consideration of amendments to the zoning ordinance to permit construction of mixed-use buildings containing dwellings in the base flood hazard area, that's the 100-year floodplain, in urban mixed-use district. Mr. Silver.
Yes, sir. The zoning ordinance currently prohibits the construction of new dwellings in the 100-year floodplain. The county has been requested to permit construction of mixed-use buildings containing new dwellings within the 100-year floodplain in urban mixed-use districts. While this has been requested for a specific situation with Rockets Landing, amendment of this type would allow flexibility in other areas depending on how the ordinance is finally drafted. This resolution would request the Director of Planning to study this issue and make recommendations to the Planning Commission, who would hold public hearing and make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors.
Move the resolution.
Right. Second.
Can I?
Move.
I have a question. Big real quick. Would they be able to get flood insurance and that sort of thing with this, you know, as we do work through this? Is that going to be
Yes, ma'am.
Passed?
Flood insurance would be impacted. They'd be impacted, but they would still be able to get flood insurance, yes.
And I'm going to assume that you're thinking in terms of putting things on stilts or putting it up
would be,
or something?
As we're looking at this point, it would be constructed, the dwelling units would be constructed above non-residential uses.
Right.
It would be at least 1 foot above flood elevation.
Okay.
So they would be built. It would be built above the flood level.
Mm-hmm.
The planning staff will be studying this, and making a recommendation to the planning commission and to the board.
That's correct.
And what's the goal or time frame you're looking at here?
We're looking to bring to the planning commission an ordinance for a work session in early October, October 11th.
Really?
Public hearing with the planning commission late October. We'd like to have a work session with the board in November 13th, and a public hearing by the 27th of November.
You must have your studies well underway.
We have some ideas.
Are you allowed to build commercial buildings in floodplains?
That's correct. Yes, you can.
It's an anomalous course, isn't
it? You ready for motion?
Well, even in with commercial property, it has to be a foot out of the floodplain, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I mean, so even
it would have to be at 1 foot above the flood
right.
elevation.
Yeah.
It could still be located in the floodplain.
But it has to be 1 foot above the
floodplain.
Okay.
I had a motion by Mr. Glover and a second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 308-07 is a resolution to accept the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles Transportation Safety Services Award to the County of Henrico Division of Police. This is for driving under the influence, red light running, and speed enforcement. Chief Stanton.
Yes, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this paper would accept a little over $91,000 for overtime enforcement to continue the DUI efforts and the red light running and speed enforcement throughout the county.
Does that go a pretty good ways, or?
It goes a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Are these charges that carry, or the degree of what they're charged with could enter into this three-year payment plan, some of these arrests?
Well, I think that would be up to our court to apply that.
Depending on what they're charged with.
Right,
but the charges could result in that, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Colonel Stanley, I've heard of police officers refer to something called the West End Stop. It has to do with red light running, and apparently more cars in the West End as they're going in a left turn lane, trying to go through a big intersection, and the first car will go through in the yellow, then it will be red, and three or four cars will scoot through on the red light.
Well, I do know those violations occur. I have not heard that name before.
I think it may have been that they just see a lot of that on Broad Street, and they refer to it as the West End Stop.
Yes.
And the light already turns red, but they're so anxious to make that left turn wherever they're going, and they keep going. That is still a violation.
Yes, ma'am.
So even though the car in front of you is just turned red, that doesn't mean you can, you know, snug up on their bumper and go through the red light. That was what I think they were referring to, is they see that a lot. When the cars line up in left turn lanes, they just refer to it as that.
Move resolution, Ms. Chimp.
Okay, motion by Mr. Thornton.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman. I heard that second by Ms. O'Bannon first.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. All right. Correction, Mr. Clerk. Did you get that?
He did. I've got it on my
side. Second recording.
Yes. Item 309-07 is a resolution to accept the Virginia Office of the Attorney General of Triad Crime Prevention for Seniors Grant Award. Is you standing?
Yes, Mr. Manager. This is a grant from the Attorney General's Office. The amount awarded was $2,475. However, it requires a match of $275, which we would find within our budget.
Move the resolution. Second by Mr. Cackley.
Second.
Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 310-07 is a resolution to accept the U.S. Department of Justice Edward Byrne Justice Assistance Grant Program Award to the County of Henrico Division of Police. This is for needed police-related equipment.
Yes, Mr.
Move the resolution. Motion by Mr. Glover.
Second.
Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 311-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for acquisition of real property, Kensington Meadows Subdivision in Fairfield District.
Move resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 312-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is award of a contract for the Candlelight Lane area water system improvements. Mr. Petrino.
Move resolution. Motion by Mr. Glover.
Second.
Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 313-07 is a resolution. This is consideration of amendments to the zoning ordinance regarding floodplains. Free.
Yes, sir. This board paper is a little different than the one presented by Mr. Silber earlier, although it does relate to floodplains. This board paper is basically a continuation of a process that was started back in 2001 when the board awarded a contract to Michael Baker Engineers to make a big study of floodplains in the county. As you will recall, last year we held information meetings for the citizens advising them of the new floodplain maps that were being considered. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has advised us that the floodplain maps mapping will become official on December 18th, 2007. And so as a result, we need to review the ordinances to update our ordinance to make them bring them up to date. This board paper would basically request the Department of Public Works to study the ordinances and make recommendations to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission would then review those recommendations, hold public hearings, and make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding any ordinance changes, as well as consideration of updating, officially adopting and updating the mapping.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 314-07, a resolution to permit additional fine of $200 for speeding on Old Forester Lane.
Move the resolution. Motion by Mr. Glover.
Second.
Second by Mr.
Where is Old Forester?
All in favor say aye.
In my district.
All right. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
No other items, Mr. Chairman.
Carried.